Blog Talk Radio.
On a very warm Monday, welcome to Mark Mann Madness here on Blog Talk Radio. Driven by Mancini Media, our producer is Mark Mancini. I'm Mark Heffernan, thus Mark Mann Madness, MMM. We're heard Mondays from 5 to 6 p.m. Pacific time right here on Blog Talk Radio. Okay, my email sites for Mark Heffernan, sportswrapnet@yahoo.com, or markheff20 at gmail.com. Today marks the 78th anniversary of D-Day. We honor those who landed on the beaches of Normandy to fight evil 78 years ago. Wow. Okay, Sunday, top-seeded teams like Tennessee join number 4 seed Virginia Tech, number 5 Texas A&M, number 9 Texas, and Notre Dame in winning their respective regional finals in baseball, college baseball. Other top seeds include number 2 Stanford and 3rd seed Oregon State. Now, Stanford plays tonight at 7 o'clock against Texas State. Games going on right now. VCU against North Carolina at 4 o'clock. Arkansas against Oklahoma State. And UConn against Maryland. NCAA Women's College World Series. Well, it was a nice morning for UCLA. Lena White's redshirt senior, their outstanding catcher. She homered. Maya Brady homered. UCLA beat Oklahoma 7-3. Now, Oklahoma's only lost about 10 games in the past 3 years in college softball. They have great talent, power. They have it all. Okay. UCLA after that game was 51-9, and Oklahoma was 56-3. Well, the question is, did UCLA celebrate too much in winning that game? Did Oklahoma see them celebrate? Because whatever they did, UCLA, it pissed off Oklahoma. Okay? I'm using it very nicely there. You know what happened in the nightcap with the winner going on to the Women's College World Series? UCLA, 0. Oklahoma, 15. How the heck, I know Oklahoma's great, how the heck can you get beat 15-0 in a softball game, one win away from the Women's College World Series when you're in UCLA, when you won about 3 years ago and maybe 10 years ago in softball, okay? Now, it's maybe women. Did you actually compete in the second game? Were you satisfied because you won game number one? You know, this isn't fourth grade softball. Oklahoma's serious about winning another championship. Okay, you beat them 7-3. Did you relax? How can you go from winning 7-3 and losing 15-0? I mean, you're supposed to have a good pitching staff at UCLA. I remember back-to-back games in the Pac-12 this year. They lost to Stanford 1-0. And that kind of cost them a chance at a Pac-12 championship, which was won by Arizona State. 15-0? Yeah, I know. They have a power hitter, Al Lowe. 2 home runs today, 7 RBIs, won a grand slam. So the Bruins pitchers put people on base. They were smacked. They had their rears kicked. What else can I say? I'm a UCLA fan. I don't like that. It's one thing to get beat, get smoked like that. I mean, come on. You're UCLA. What's up with that? Then a baseball team basically eliminated. They were down 8-0 last night while I was seeing karaoke. I did a pretty good job, some of the blues and rock. Yeah, I was seeing karaoke. The Golden State game was on TV, and the college softball was on, college baseball. They were losing 8 or 9-0 of Auburn Regional, and that game was suspended until today because of bad weather. So not a really good day for UCLA. Okay, the other semifinal will be between Oklahoma State and Texas. They would take on those big, bad Sooners. So WCWS Finals, game one Wednesday at 5:30 p.m. Pacific time. Game 2 on Thursday at 4:30 p.m. Pacific time. Game 3, if necessary, Friday at 5:30 p.m. Pacific time. NBA Finals, deadlocked, one apiece. Game 2 on Sunday. Golden State 107, Boston 88. Boston, where was your offense? Did you relax after game 1 at Golden State? Felt good about yourself, right? We got our split. We're cool now. We'll just go out there and just kind of goof around. You're right, okay. Steph Curry, 29 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, 5 of 12, 3-point range for Steph. Looney had 12 points, 7 rebounds, 2 assists. Not bad for a guy who played 1 year at UCLA and he can't shoot, but he's a good rebounder and very good in the paint. Tatum, 28-6-3 for Boston. Horford had 26 in game 1, knocking down big-time shots in the fourth quarter. How many did he have yesterday? Count my fingers. You know you can't see them. It's audio. 1, 2. He had 2 points. 26 in the first game, 2 in the second. Man, is that consistency? Game 3 Wednesday in Boston. Number 3 Warriors. Number 2 Celtics. 6 p.m. on ABC. NHL playoffs. Western Conference Game 4. That's tonight. Number 1 Colorado Avalanche against the number 2 Edmonton Oilers. Colorado leads that series 3-0. So, can the Oilers avoid a sweep? A sweep? TNT, CBC tonight. Okay. 6 games of Major League Baseball today. Boston taking on those Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. How many have the Angels lost in a row? 1, 5, 10? No. They've lost 11 straight games. 11 in a row. Okay, their record, I think they're 1 game under .500, but they're still in second place. What has Mike Trout done in the past, I guess, 7 or 8 games? He's been up 26 official times at bat. How many hits does he have? 0. Big 0. 0.26. The average has dropped from about 320 to, I think, 275 or so. He ain't doing a heck of a lot, basically. But he gets paid very well for it, whether he does well or not. Okay. Are the Angels actually going to win? You know, they don't do well against Boston. You know, for many years, the Angels have done well against the Yankees, and they struggled against the Red Sox, who are hot right now. They've been hitting the ball. So we'll see what happens there. And one of the top players of the Angels, I think, is hurt on the injured list. Okay, New York Mets against those San Diego Padres. Did very well against Milwaukee over the weekend. We have Arizona and Cincinnati right now, Texas and Cleveland, Toronto and KC and Seattle and Houston. Major League Baseball standings. The Yankees having a splendid year, 39-15. 7.5 ahead of the Toronto Blue Jays, who are 31-22. And a Rays right back at 31-23. AL Central, the Twins, Minnesota, 32-24. The Guardians, 4.5 back at 24-25. The White Sox, 25-27, 5 back. No races there at this point. AL West, not a race there. Astros, 35-19, the same record as Los Doyers, 27-28, 8.5 back. And the Rangers, 25-28, are 9.5 games back. No race there either. Boring races in Major League Baseball. Now we look to the National League East. The Mets are 37-19, split with the Dodgers. Lost the first 2 games, scored 1 run in 2 games. Then they decided to dent the scoreboard, 14 runs in the last 2 games. But the Braves, 20-27, 8.5 back. And the Philadelphia Phillies, 25-29, 11 games back of the Mets. Been off to a great start this year. National League Central, the Brewers, 33-3. The Cards a half game back. That is a race. And the Pirates, 24-28, 7 back. But you know what, Mancini? You're not a 500 team. You're not in the race. That's my book. Get to 5 and we'll talk. National League West, the Dodgers, 35-19. I don't think the Dodgers are as good as the record indicates. They have not been playing good ball. They lost 5 out of 7 at home. Going to the homestand, they have the best record at home this year in Major League Baseball. They average about 47,000 fans per game, but home cooking hasn't been that great for them, especially for Walker Buehler. I think his ERA at home is about 4, maybe close to 5. On the road, it's about 1 point something. So he's supposed to be the Dodgers' ace, and he's been pitching basically like a punk recently. Ever since his complete game shutout, he hasn't done very well. He's his velocity is not like it should be. His location is horrible. They're hitting sliders, curves, fastballs over the middle of the plate, and jacking them out anywhere from 395 to 420 feet. Had a 4-1 lead the other day and blew it within a half inning. They lost that game 9-4. He's not getting it done. So they're saying, what's wrong with Walker Buehler? Let's decipher what's wrong with him. So, I mean, obviously coaches now, you have video and you have digital screaming. You can see a picture in his delivery and his stretch and what he's doing, what he should not be doing. You haven't figured it out yet. Basically, he's not very good. His balls are flat when he throws them. They're flat. Not a lot of movement. Guys are jacking the ball for him. You're going on, oh, he's going to get it together. You don't know if he's going to get it together. Nobody knows if he's going to get it together. I think he started to go downhill late last year. He had a bad performance against the Giants, gave up 5 or 6 consecutive hits, and didn't do that well in the playoffs. And his record looks like he's pitching well, 6-2. But he's had nice run support. But he's not pitching well. His ERA, I think, was it 3.8, close to 4. He's not pitching well. Not what they expected him. He's supposed to be their ace. Urias, the problem with him, he's pitching okay, but he lacks run support. Last year, the Dodgers probably scored 5 to 6 runs per outing for Julio, who won 20 games. But the problem with him, he doesn't go past 6 innings. So you got to use the bullpen a lot. And the bullpen failed for the Dodgers the last 2 games. They sucked Saturday, and they were bad yesterday. Couldn't hold a 2-1 lead. Lost in 10 innings. You know, on this show, I say it like it is. I don't work for the Dodgers, so I don't have an hour pregame show and an hour postgame show and talking about the great qualities of all the players on the team when they're hitting like 215, okay? So as of right now, I don't think they're playing that well. The Padres, 2 back at 33-21. That is a race. And the Giants, 29-24, 5.5 back. And Calby thinks the Giants are in the race. Yeah, they are somewhat. I think you have to be within 5 games. 5 games of the top to actually be in the race. And generally, you got to be over 500 to be within 5 games. Okay, you talk about a warrior as an athlete. Rafael Nadal, 6'3", 6'3", 6'1", his 14th French Open Final Championship. How many times has he been in the final? 14. This guy is 14 for 14 in a French Open Finals. That is awesome. That's unbelievable. He's 36. He's had all kinds of injuries. He's tough. I mean, the guy can just do it. Had a problem with his foot the other day. I guess they put some Novocaine in it. Kept on playing. He couldn't feel his feet for most of the match. He still won. 3 sets. Wow, yesterday, championship. 14 for 14 in the finals. 22 Grand Slams. He won the Australian Open. Talk about a dude, man, from Spain. Number 1 seed. Swiatek beat Coco Gauff 6-1, 6-3 to claim the women's title. She has won 2 Grand Slam finals. Congratulations to her. WNBA action tonight at 5 o'clock. Happening right now, the Lynx, who are 3-8 against Liberty, who's 3-8. Then at 7 p.m., the Dream, who are 7-4 against the Storm, who are 5-5. Okay, Ann from Huntington Beach. Hi, Mark. Great show, as always. I'm at Petco Park, now getting ready for the Mets-Padres. Listening to you outside the park. Oh, yeah. Put that phone on speaker. I want the Padres fans to hear me. Come on now. Petco Park. I was there in January. When am I returning? Okay, Joey from Brooklyn, New York. Hey, Mark, Dodgers suck. Your stadium is a rat, urine joint, rip-off Dodger dogs. I was there this week, and we just, well, I don't know about that. You got beat the first 2 games. You scored 2 runs in 2 games, dude. You only split 4, so don't be telling me how great your team is. They scored 1 run the first 2 games. Yeah, they did better the last 2 games, but they split 2-2. So you're not going to tell me how great your team is. They're a good team, the Mets. They're not great. The only team that's really playing great baseball this year is the New York Yankees. Aaron Judge leading the charge. Great pitching, power hitting. They're the only team that's been playing great baseball this year. Not your Mets and nobody else. Not Milwaukee, not San Diego, not Houston, not the Dodgers. Those teams are playing good. There's a difference between good and greatness. So UCLA is a good softball team. Oklahoma is a great softball team. Difference in talent there. What do you give UCLA? Recruit better. Remember, their top player, the catcher, she's a redshirt senior. She's not coming back. Okay, Joey. Okay, we're going to talk to Joey. Earl from Tallahassee, Florida. I got money on who? You got money on. I got money on the Jets to be the surprise team in the AFC. We're talking about the Jets making it to the playoffs? We talk about the Jets making it to the AFC championship? What are we talking about here? What are we talking about that? Okay. Yeah, right on. Okay. Looking for Gene Frith is in. Okay, wait a minute here. You can't make a great picture unless you know what one is. Gene Frith is my guest on Mark Men Madness. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
So you hear me rant pretty good on the show. I do that from time to time. Well, you know, it's about 95 degrees here in Bakersfield. I got some other issues to deal with, and so I just kind of lay it out there. But see, the thing about me is that, you're a sports photographer for Major League Baseball. I know it's all about the money. Why does every team in baseball have to have an hour pregame show and an hour postgame show? I'm talking about teams that maybe in another month are 30 games under 500, and the guys on there telling everybody how great they are, and in fact, they're going to come back and get into the playoff race. It's all about the money, because I don't believe most of what they're saying. I don't believe most of what the Dodger guys say on their shows, and most of them played in major leagues. I just turn the volume down. And you know why? I play baseball. I broadcast baseball. I've coached it. I know what's going on. I watch them on TV. They've got to pass the eye test. I have the eye test correlate that with stats, and I know what's going on. I don't need the dudes to tell me how they're doing. This guy's pitching well. When a guy's not pitching well, don't tell me he's pitching well, basically. Walker Buehler's not pitching well. And everything, well, maybe he's hurt. Well, if he's hurt, figure it out. Oh, well, we'll give him three starts to figure it out. Well, he's not figuring it out. Basically, he doesn't have the velocity he used to have. His pitches are flat. They're over the middle. And guys jack him around. And that's been going on ever since he had a complete game shutout. Julio Urias, not as good as he was last year or 2 years ago. Now his velocity is okay. Once again, another guy where he doesn't have a lot of movement. He can only go about 5.5 innings or six. That's about it. So you got to use the pen quite a bit. Kimbrel's not as good as he used to be, their closer. He's like Kenley Jansen. He comes to the game on pins and needles. And they're really missing Blake Treinen. He won't come back until the All-Star break. So they throw a lot of arms at you in the bullpen, but I wouldn't say they're all quality arms. Now you look at the Dodgers, their lineup, the first three are outstanding. Mookie Betts is having an outstanding year. I think Freddie Freeman's been a little bit of a disappointment. And his average is okay around 290. Not driving the ball, four home runs, come on, you got to do better than that. And I know he hits a lot of doubles, but you know what, Freddie? We want homers from you. We want more RBIs than 30. That's not good enough for the kind of money they're paying you. I know you're a good fielder and you like the fact you're back in Southern Cal and making good money. You got to do more. And Trey Turner's fine. After that, 4-9, they're not very good. They're very mediocre. So the bit about them having a top-notch lineup, top to bottom, is a bunch of bull. Look at the averages of the players. If you haven't seen them play, I know their averages. I know how many strikeouts Taylor has and Bellinger has and Will Smith. I know what they do and what they don't do. And so I don't need guys to tell me these guys are – when you're hitting 210, you're not a good hitter. Now, I'll admit, you know, if a guy is hitting 220 right now, I can handle it if he has, like, 20 home runs at this point. But if you're hitting, like, 210, 215, or 220, and you have, like, six home runs, you're not a good hitter. I don't care what Dave Roberts says. You're not – I know averages are down, but not for everybody. Aaron Judge hitting over 300, 21 home runs, 42 RBIs. There are guys that can hit the ball. Too many guys have low averages in Major League ball, but I'm talking about for Dodgers, they all get paid very well, high payroll. They're going to pay a high luxury tax. A lot of guys on their team are not doing the job, and they get a free pass. Now, I don't think they're as deep as they were 2 or 3 years ago. They don't have the depth they used to have. So I think they have issues. And also the fact they've only played the Giants twice, they're playing this weekend, haven't played the Padres that many times, they haven't played the Yankees or the Astros or the Brewers. They just finished playing the Mets. They've beaten up a lot of weak teams this year, a lot of under 500 teams. So the proof is in the pudding. And at this point, I say the Dodgers are overrated. And I'm a Dodger fan. So I don't know your thought. I mean, you photograph a lot for the A's and the Giants. And I know the question with the A's is that when they have great players after 3 or 4 years, they just let them go and don't pay them. But they always seem to be competitive. And I think the Giants are doing a good job of their pitching this year. They're in a very tough division. They're probably looking more for a playoff situation. But what is your take on the Giants' chances this year, Gene, to make the playoff into the National League?
Hello there.
Well, I guess he's not there. Gene Frith is a sports photographer. Her new book is about the game of baseball. And I think it's I read a quote out of that book. Well, I think she used a quote. She uses alpha 130 frames per second, 30 frames per second, great for action photos, autofocus. Now, she does a lot of Major League Baseball, spring training, regular season, Caribbean League, et cetera. And I was going to ask, when you arrive at a location, what is your primary goal? Angles, location of the shot, and you're constantly planning. Many leaps and hugs in baseball, but she focuses on individuals and our teams. When you use a camera that shoots 30 frames per second, you can break down a pitcher's delivery. You can break down when a player goes to his right, makes a great play in a hole, throws across his body to first base to get somebody, or dives left, gets up, makes a stop at second base. 30 frames per second is a lot. and you need that many frames per second to shoot action photos like you have in sports, plays at a plate. Somebody's trying to dive headfirst in a home plate, and then catcher takes the throws, tries a swipe tag. So that is the Alpha 130. That's the one she uses most of the time. There's also another one, which is A92. Now, she has a book out chronicling kind of the Caribbean League, grassroots baseball, it's called. And also, I think she does some work for the Baseball Hall of Fame, a document, things like that. So she likes composition, content, and angles, most important. Her new book is Grassroots Baseball, Route 66. She says some of the key things, you have to know the game you're shooting. Great athletes repeat the same movements. So if you've seen the same team play quite a bit, whether it's the A's or the Giants, you know what certain players do. You know the kind of movements Brandon Crawford, the shortstop for the Giants, has, and the past Buster Posey. You know how he catches the ball, his delivery to second or third. You know about Brandon Belt, the left-handed DH or first baseman for the Giants. You know his tendencies, as they'd say. The same with pitchers that you have. So, Gene, are you there? Oh, she's having tech problems. Okay. Okay, Sam from Bucks County, Pennsylvania. Love Gene's work. Your producer told me she was having tech problems. Yes. What else is nice? Tech problems. I was talking and talking. I thought maybe she didn't like what I was saying about some of the players in Major League Baseball, and she wasn't there. But she's having tech problems. Don't really know where she's at. I don't even know where she is right now. So, obviously, I don't know when she's coming back because I've asked for her twice. I don't know if she's in the Bay Area or she's covering another team. She was at Pittsburgh covering the Pirates and Dodgers earlier this season, and she does cover most of the teams in Major League Baseball, but she primarily covers the A's and the Giants when they're at home, and especially when they play each other. But, yeah, she we had her on this program, and it was on Zoom about a year and a half ago. I had a show with Trevor. Gene was on that program before she had written the story about grassroots baseball, Route 66. So we'll see about that. At any rate, I was going to ask her about what tagging is, editing, how important it is, downloading, audio files. Now, she uses, I think, anywhere from 5 to 6 lenses. And we're going to talk about International Women's Day, mentors, planning, shooting from knees, a batter swing, pitcher's delivery. I saw her she was doing a video, highlight video, and there was little kids in the background, little league baseball they were playing. And Gene was getting on her hands and knees and shooting. She said it's really cool to shoot from that vantage point and shoot up, whether the kids are 4 feet or whether the men are 5 feet or 6 feet tall. Obviously, it makes them look a lot bigger. But that's a certain kind of angle that she likes, shooting up to people. Then, of course, up in the stands, you're shooting down. So she'll use a wide-angle lens for some of those great shots at Dodger Stadium or where the Oakland A's play or San Francisco, where it kind of pans from left to right. You can see the backdrop of the stadium, the ambiance, the perimeter of it. And some places have, you know, beautiful trees in the background or they have mountains and things like that. And especially she takes a lot of shots when the sun is setting during the summer. And she just has, like she was telling me, I mean, obviously she did black and white photography before she got into sports photography. She began shooting high school, junior high, I guess, youth baseball and high school baseball, and then moved on from there. I don't know. I wanted to ask her, how did she go from there to shooting in the major leagues if she did any junior college or college baseball photography? I'm not sure about that. But she moved it very quickly. She's very talented. And I know that when she first was probably shooting major league ball or minor league ball, there were some guys that came around and asked her, what are you doing here? Like she wasn't welcome. So I want to touch upon those bases, but I can't answer for her. But, you know, it's like guys are playing baseball. It's like, what's this woman doing here? Well, you know, now women are sideline reporters, they're field reporters. They're even broadcasting baseball and softball, so things have changed. And now I think guys ask her, what are you doing here? She should probably be asking them, what are you doing here? Because Gene's probably a better photographer than the guy that asked her that in the first place. Since she's an author now, she's not only a photographer, she's also a journalist. Tara from Bakersfield, hi, Mark. A great show. Let's go Dodgers. Love the Lakers. New coach Darvin Ham. Well, we'll see about Darvin Ham. I don't really know. He was an assistant coach for the Lakers for a while, a long time with Milwaukee. But he was an assistant. He wasn't a head coach. Different scenario when you're in the 8C. How's he going to handle LeBron, Anthony Davis, and especially Russell Westbrook? We don't know. So here's the whole thing with me. I don't really care whether the coach is a nice guy. Can he deliver? Can the team win when he's at the helm? Now, obviously, players' attitudes, health has a lot to do with whether he wins or not. But, it's professional sports. It's about winning. It's not about being a nice guy and being nice to the media. I don't really care if a guy is kind of snarly with the media. This team wins. That's what I like. Look at Pat Riley, 77 years old. He's not stepping down. He's like president, GM of the Miami Heat. He's looking at what they can do to improve in the offseason. Somebody asked him, "You going to retire?" He goes, "Heck no, I can do more push-ups than you." So he told the interviewer. So he's coming back. Mr. Riley once backed up Jerry West with the Lakers. Of course, he was a commentator with Chick Hearn. Then he was a fantastic coach with the Flair. And he vowed they were going to repeat, and they actually did with Magic and Kareem and those guys. So Riley's been around for a long time. He stresses defense. Miami Heat always play tough defense, but, you know, they need to improve their offensive flow, because Jimmy Butler can't carry them every game. When he has an off game, when he gets tired, when his knee is bothering him, he struggled in some of the games. When Jimmy was on, Jimmy was healthy, he was dynamite, as good as anybody in the game. But he's getting older now, put a lot of years on those knees, those legs, so he needs to get some help. The question was, Tyler Hero wants to start next year. And Riley says, "I'm not against that. He's got to come into camp and beat out whoever it is he needs to beat out to be a starter." He's been coming off the bench for several years with Miami, kind of had an up-and-down season. Didn't do a lot late in the year because he was hurt. But it's up to him, Riley said, whether he starts or not. Right now he's coming off the bench. He's a great sixth man. They also asked about Kyle Lowry, his conditioning is a concern. Riley said, "Yeah, it is. I think Lowry's about 34, 35. When you get older in the NBA, 33 and up, you really got to work out year-round. You got to lose some weight and get in better shape. You can get by in your 20s being a little bit overweight. But look at LeBron. He's 37. He has some injuries here and there, but it's not because he's not in shape. LeBron works out feverishly and pays a personal trainer over probably $1.5 million to work with him. So he's always in good shape, very good shape, better than Anthony Davis, who I don't think works out very hard. Now, Russell Westbrook's in great shape. He plays better every game. The problem with him, he can't shoot from the outside, and he makes turnovers in the clutch and can't hit free throws when the game's on the line. That's his problem. His problem is not the fact he misses games, Westbrook. LeBron and AD miss games, and they'll miss games next year because they're both getting older. Now, AD is 29 going on 40. LeBron is like 37 going on 32. You got that. So Darvin Ham's been around some great coaches. Like I said, coach of the Lakers for a few years. And then coach in Milwaukee, part of that, the championship team. Giannis really loves him. But it's a different scenario when you're the head coach. And you've got big personalities like LeBron James and Russell Westbrook. And Anthony Davis is more laid back. So we'll see what he does. He might tweak a few things here and there. He'll try to get the best out of the team, see what works. So got to give him a shot, you know. He deserves a shot. Been an assistant for a long time. He played in the NBA, and so we'll see what goes. Like I said, I don't really care whether he's a nice guy or not. I mean, I'm as a fan, I like to see the Lakers be competitive. I like to see them win. So that's where I'm coming from. Okay, so I guess nobody else is calling. Our number 347-205-9631. 347-205-9631. Well, I guess Jean's not going to call back. She only had until 5:45. So, ladies and gentlemen, it's you and me. So, I'm going to ask you questions. Get back to me on my questions. In your opinion, who has been the most surprising team in Major League Baseball this year? In your opinion, and why, who has been the most surprising team in Major League Baseball? I have another question. And the other question is, who do you think is going to win the College Baseball World Series? This is men's baseball. Who is going to win the College Baseball World Series? And we got listeners from all over the country, so I don't really care who you pick. Who's going to win and the reasons why? So 347-205-9631, 347-205-9631. I'm Mark Heffernan. My email site is markheff20@gmail.com or sportswrapnet@yahoo.com. You know, that was a great quote I was going to ask Gene about. You can't make a great picture unless you know what one is. And that's not a quote by her. It was a quote by somebody, I think, from 75 to 100 years ago, somebody that she really admires, sort of like a mentor. You know, she's read books about photography. She's worked with people. She was very young in photography. She learned a lot from them. But Jean is very creative in her work. I mean, if you're documenting the game of baseball, and a lot of pictures are at the Baseball Hall of Fame, and you're a sports photographer for Major League Baseball teams, you're doing the games in the Dominican League and the Winter League, you're darn good. And her work is great. She does a great job. She has an eye. Not only does she know about baseball and about sports, she knows about angles, plan on getting certain shots and things like that, what's the right lens to use on a specific shot, what she wants. Now, she'll take a lot of shots prior to the game when the teams are out there taking infield practice, batting practice, things like that. Get a lot of great shots from players kind of like kidding around, sometimes talking to players on the other team. Then you get those great sunsets because most can start in the evening, you know, between 7:05 and 7:20. So in stadiums, it's getting kind of dark. And so then, of course, she's taking them during the game and probably post-game. So we have different lenses to shoot depending on what time of the evening it is, what's happening on the field, maybe taking a picture of the Dodgers owner talking to Dave Roberts in a dugout, or maybe seeing some old-time Dodgers, you know, hanging out in a dugout talk to some of the current players. And the same way she goes to a game with New York Mets playing or the Yankees. So she's able to kind of, I think, bridge the gap between some of the older players and some of the younger people coming up right now, the new stars. There are a lot of new stars in Major League Baseball today. And so Jean Fruth, we'll get her on again one of these days. Anyway, 347-205-9631. Who, in your opinion, is the most surprising team in Major League Baseball this year? Who's your pick maybe for Rookie of the Year? And also, who do you think will win the College Baseball World Series? And let me ask you another question. Who's your pick to win the NBA Finals, Golden State or Boston? Golden State has home court. They split at home. They go to Boston. Do you think Boston will win both games in Boston? I don't think so. I think they will split in Boston, and they'll go back to San Francisco with the series tied at 2-2. Then it's a best of three. And two of the last three are Golden State. They lost only once at home in the playoffs. That was in game one of the NBA Finals, game one of the finals, and that's it this year. Okay. You're listening to Mark Men Madness here on Blog Talk Radio, driven by Mancini Media. Our producer is Mark Mancini. I'm Mark Heffernan, at number 347-205-9631. Okay, I'll just be going over some of the same stuff unless I hear from you. Like I said, top seed of Tennessee, joined number 4 seed Virginia Tech, Baltech, number 5 Texas A&M, number 9 Texas and Notre Dame, and winning their respective regional finals. That was yesterday. Now, some of the teams are playing today. Stanford's playing tonight. They're a number 2 seed, taking on Texas State at 7 o'clock. Some games are currently going on. That's between Arkansas and Oklahoma State, UConn and Maryland, and VCU and North Carolina. You know, I saw the game between Vanderbilt and Oregon State yesterday, last night, actually. There was a guy for Vanderbilt. He's a heck of a hitter, left-handed batter, a guy named Jones. I think he plays right field. Didn't have a lot of home runs this year, only 10 or 11, but he's been great in the regionals. The guy has a fantastic stroke. His line drives, hits for power. I don't know what year he is in school, but definitely is a draft pick, a draft prospect or somebody like that. Don't know if he's a sophomore or junior. Of course, he's playing Division I. He has to wait until after his junior year. Not really sure, but really like his stroke. Great swing. Saw him hit one deep to left center yesterday. Hit one deep to right field yesterday against Oregon State. Saw him the day before, actually, too. And Vanderbilt had lost 6 or 7 games before their win yesterday. And I think they beat somebody. It was New Mexico State, 21-1. But prior to that game, they had lost 6 out of 7 games. And they had given up, I think, maybe 8 runs per game during that stretch. They only scored about 3 runs. But, you know, in baseball, sometimes things turn. So they got the bats going, and Clover, New Mexico State, who only lost to Oregon State, game 1 of that Corvallis Regional, 5-4 in 10 innings. So Oregon State's the top seed, I think Vandy, the number two seed in that regional. So it's amazing how baseball is, where Oregon State only beats New Mexico State 5-4-10. The next day, New Mexico State loses to Vanderbilt 21-1. And I think the problem with that, many times when you lose, your confidence kind of goes down the drain. You know, it's double elimination. I think that's what happened to New Mexico State. They weren't as bad as the way they played against Vanderbilt, you know, the previous day. And the thing about that, there was a ball hit right to the shortstop. He muffled it. There was a ball hit to the left fielder, went under his glove, went to the fence, and two guys scored. They just looked bad in that game. Not only was their pitching horrible, but they made poor plays, and they couldn't hit the ball. You have that. I guess the same thing with softball. UCLA is a 51-10 this year, finished second in the pack. They get hammered by Oklahoma 15-0 after they beat the Sooners earlier today, 7-3. So they have the monumental task of having to beat Oklahoma in back-to-back games. Not really going to happen. I just thought that the second game would be closer. But when Oklahoma gets rolling, man, there's something else. I believe only 10 or 11 losses in their last 3 years in softball, because you have that pandemic year, so they had a limited amount of games. But they have been a dynamo, and they have that one great hitter, but quite a few in that team. And those girls hit for power. That's now, that doesn't mean they're automatically going to win the Women's College World Series. They're in it. It starts on Monday, and they will play the winner between Oklahoma State and Texas. But the favorite team is Oklahoma, but just like in baseball, the best team doesn't always win. But this is the best of three. It's not one game. So we'll see what happens with that. So that's Wednesday and Thursday. If necessary, the game on Friday. So, and I wanted to talk about, nobody else has talked about, who they think at this point is the surprise team in Major League Baseball. Who surprised you? Take a look at the standings. Okay, Major League Baseball, AL East. Yankees off to a great start. Wonderful pitching. Not excellent hitting from top to bottom, but good enough. And Aaron Judge is having an MVP type year. He's betting on himself. Rizzo's been driving in runs. Doesn't have a real good average, but he's been driving in runs. Judge over 40 RBIs. Rizzo close to 40. Stan was hurt. He's come back. He's in the 30s. So he's been healthy. Not great hitting up and down, but you have four or five guys that are carrying the team. And I think they can get better. Severino's is healthy this year. He's pitching very well. Garrett Cole's doing a good job. Had 9 Ks and a walk the other day. Went 7. I saw him get hammered one game, but I think he's 5 or 6-1. ERA is pretty good. And then Talon, pretty good relief pitching. So everything's kind of blending fairly well. 39-15 is an excellent record. Blue Jays, who I picked to win the AL East, are 31-22. They're playing better of late. The 7.5 back of the Yankees. And then Tampa Bay Rays, 31-23, 8 back, only half game behind the Blue Jays. And then AL Central, I picked the White Sox, who were strong the last couple of years, off to a tough start this year. They may come on. They're 25-27. They're in third place. 5 back of the Twins, who are 32-24. Cleveland Guardians are 24-25, 4.5 back. And the West, the Astros, as usual, they lose players, but they're still good. 35-19. Dusty Baker doing a fine job with that club, whether you like them or not. Angels have lost 11 straight. 27-28, they take on Boston tonight. And the Rangers, playing better of late, 25-28, 9.5 games behind the Astros. And the National League East, the Mets, you know, the Grom's not pitching. Scherzer's hurt. They're still winning games. And very solid team. Good defensively. Seem like they do a good job in the clutch. Right now, 37-19, they have the best record in the National League. 8.5 behind them are the Braves at 28-27. And the Phillies, to fire Joe Girardi, they right now are 25-29, 11 back. Remember last year, the Braves only won 88 games, got into the playoffs and won the World Series. So plenty of time for them to get hot, because in baseball you play a lot of games. This year, regular season, 162. It's not a short season. So there's time for the Braves to get hot and for the Mets to slip down a bit. So if you're over 500, then you have a shot. You got to get over that mark, I believe. The National League Central, the Brewers are 33-23. The Padres handled them very well. Cards are 32-23. And the Pirates, Mancini's Pirates from Pittsburgh, the Buccos, 24-28, seven back. The Cards only half game back of Milwaukee. So the Pirates trying to make that a three-team race. It is a race right now between the Brewers and the Cardinals. That is the only race that I see of the first one, two, three, four, five divisions I've looked at. There's also a divisional race in the National League West, thanks to the Dodgers losing 5 of 7 at home. And the Padres, I believe, sweeping Milwaukee or taking care of them in that series. The Dodgers now 35-19. They played two less games than the Mets. The Padres 33-21, two back. And the Giants at 29-24. I'm not surprised that the Padres are 33-21. Now they're playing without Fernando Tatis Jr., who should be returning very soon. You got Musgrove, Darvish, and you got a couple other pitchers that are pretty good. Padres are hanging in there for their pitching this year. I think they've hit from top to bottom like they would like to, but they're winning games. They've been great in extra innings. I think they're like 4-5-0. The Dodgers have been terrible in extra innings the last 2 years. I mean, they're like maybe 1-8 or 0-8. They lost again just yesterday. They've been bad in extra innings, even when they play at home. Normally, the home team has the advantage in an extra inning game. But Padres have been great in those extra inning games. The Dodgers have been bad. So they're only two back right now. 33-21 is fine. It's not great, but it's good. So kudos, Rafael Nadal. You talk about a warrior on the tennis court. Now, a lot of people say, hey, man, you know, I don't think tennis players are great athletes, Mark. Hey, check this out. Maybe not all tennis players are great athletes. The guys like Nadal, Djokovic, Federer, some of the top women's players, they are. You know, at that level, you are a great athlete because you have to win a lot of matches to get to the final. And it's tough. When you're playing against somebody else who's very, very good, you know, your opponent always has an exceptional backhand, forehand, very good at the net. You make a few mistakes, you lose. But check this guy out. Can you imagine? Like I said, it's tough to make it to the finals of any Grand Slam event. He's made it to 14 French Open finals, Nadal from Spain, Rafa, 14 finals. He's won every time. He's not 14-1 or 14-2 or 14-3. Hey, they talk about Jordan in a team game getting to 6 NBA finals, winning all 6, but that's a team game. Rafa's had to do this on his own. He didn't have support from Scottie Pippen or Bill Cartwright or the other dudes. Tennis, it's like golf. You're out there on your own against one opponent. You know, one-on-one. 14 final appearances, team championships. How many athletes in any sport can beat that in any one-on-one sport? I mean, that's amazing. I think about that. He has won 22 Grand Slams in his career. This year he has 2 Grand Slam titles, the Australian Open, and then now the French Open. And the thing about Rafa, he was only seeded about, what, number 5 in this tournament? And won it all again. 6-3, 6-3, 6-love. 14-for-14 in the finals. And Swiatek beat Coco Gauff 6-1, 6-3 in the ladies' final. It seems right now with Venus kind of out of the picture, it appears that a different woman wins every tournament in tennis or a big-time tournament. I don't follow these women that well. A lot of them win, you know, 1 or 2 tournaments and you don't hear from them anymore. It's just like, it's kind of like a crapshoot. Throw the dice out there and a different one wins. Now, this Swiatek was the number one seed, and it's her second Grand Slam title. But there's not really one tennis player, female, that I put my finger on and say, I'm following you because it seems like there's something different. Now, I think it's amazing. You look at Nadal, Djokovic, and Federer, 3 guys that have a lot of respect for each other. They've all been able to win a lot over the past 15 years. There's been room for all 3 of them at the top. They're great competitors, fantastic competitors, great tennis players, all performing well into their 30s. Just an unbelievable trio, all Hall of Famers. It's not like one has won 25 Grand Slams, another one's won only 7, the other one 5. They've all 20, I think, and plus, or close to that. It's amazing how well all of them have played against each other and against other players over the years. So, wow. any rate, kudos to those players. 347-205-9631 is our number. 347-205-9631. In your opinion, listeners, which team surprised you the most in Major League Baseball this year? Who's the surprise team in Major League Baseball? 347-205-9631. 347-205-9631. Should we talk about my karaoke scene? Now, I think I'm a better announcer and broadcaster than I am a singer. Now, I sang a couple duets last night. One was I'm a Believer by the Monkees, their version, which was more like solo but kind of harmonizing. And I think I was pretty good towards the end. I'm good at parts where you have to raise your voice and kind of semi-yell. You don't want me to sing Journey featuring Steve Perry. I can't sing high very well. I don't have that kind of range. Now, the other people there, I'd say there's about five people there. They're excellent singers. And I'm surprised they don't make any money singing. Two guys sing primarily country, and they were good. And then three women were exceptional, singing pop, country, whatever like that. I stuck to kind of Bad Company, kind of bluesy. I'm no Paul Rogers, but I know how he sings, so I did my best. I tried one time Let's Dance by David Bowie. Now, that song, he just kind of talked like this the whole time. So I thought I might as well just try to sound like him. And that was the number one hit by him, like so like a dance number, retro dance number by David Bowie, Let's Dance. And I did okay. I didn't have to do a lot. I just kind of like utilized my regular voice, which is kind of low. And so that went okay. But the ones where I have to raise the voice a little bit, not quite as good. I'd say out of the five that I sang, I did okay 4 out of 5, I mean, for me. But I'm not going to take anybody's job. I'm not going on American Idol. And it's totally different singing as opposed to speaking. A lot of people with great speaking voices don't sing very well and vice versa. And I was talking to a couple of people about that last night. Our number, 347-205-9631. Okay, Terry from Bakersfield, you love the Lakers' new coach, Darvin Ham. You have nothing else to say. Okay, Sheila, Roswell, New Mexico. My surprise is the Minnesota Twins. Never figured they would be leading the American League Central. I'm with you. And thanks for calling from Roswell, New Mexico. What's the weather out there? I mean, New Mexico is a very beautiful state. I know Albuquerque is very beautiful. I'm not sure what it's like this time of the year, but I know it's very beautiful during the spring and during the winter. And I'm with you about the Twins. You know, Minnesota never gets a lot of publicity, Sheila. And they kind of hang in there every year. And it seems like they always have a pretty good team. And they're 32-24 this year. Now, one problem Minnesota's had is the Yankees have dominated them in the postseason forever. When Minnesota have great teams, the Yankees usually took care of them. But when they have Kirby Puckett, as you know, and Herbert and guys like that, they won. Didn't they win one or two championships? They're a great playing at that Metrodome. But, yeah, they're ahead by 4.5 games over the Guardians and 5 over the White Sox and AL Central. Good point, Sheila. Minnesota Twins doing very well. Jonathan Lysell, you might have to – Girardi will resurface somewhere. Yeah, Joe will get a job somewhere, and he'll probably be a commentator. Joe does a good job as a commentator. Well, he does more a local regional. You can see him on ESPN or FS1, and he'll land somewhere else because somebody else will get fired during the course of this year or next year. Joe's not really hurting for money. It didn't work out for him in Philadelphia. He won a championship with the Yankees. It's hard to win there. A lot of pressure. He had a chance to win some others. It didn't happen. But nothing could be more difficult than trying to coach the New York Yankees. Now, I think the toughest job in basketball to coach is the L.A. Lakers. Not the Boston Celtics, L.A. Lakers, because of Hollywood, things like that. But in baseball, to me, the toughest job is the manager of the New York Yankees. And, you know, Joe Torre won 4 in 5 years, but after that, he had trouble winning. So it was time for him to eventually step away. After he won those 4 out of 5, I think they got the 2 other World Series and lost, and then another year they got beat, you know, ALCS, and it was time to leave. You know, I mean, you can't win forever, but 4 and 5 is just really amazing. So I'm with you there. Spokane, Washington. Let me see. Surprised how bad the Washington Nationals are with Juan Soto. My Mariners are a complete joke as well. And, Ron, I wanted to ask, I don't follow the Mariners. I have a friend who lives up there, Trevor Beard from Banks, Oregon, close to Portland. My daughter went to the University of Oregon, the Ducks, a beautiful area. They had a strong finish last year in Major League Baseball. And I picked them as the favorite to win the AL West this year, or at least contend for the spot and be a playoff contender. Why aren't they doing better? It seems like they have some good young players coming up. I love their ballpark. Very beautiful. Good fans. They need a winner. They deserve a winner. Why are they playing so poorly? Do they have some key players hurt at this point? Because as I look at it right now, in the AL West, they are, well, they're not even 25 and 28. The Rangers are 25 and 28, and they're worse than that. The Rangers have gone from last place to third place in the AL West, and the Mariners at this point are not going anywhere. And to me, they have to catch fire pretty soon. They got to catch fire for the next 3 weeks to contend for playoffs. If you can get to 500, as I said, you have a shot. But, you know, the Astros, whether you like them or not, are going to be good. They're going to be solid. They'll probably win that division at the worst finish second. Angels, they haven't been very good for a long time, and their players have been healthy. They just haven't been winning. So the combination of bad pitching and poor hitting recently, losing 11 straight. And Rangers 25 and 20. So Seattle has a lot of teams to pass up in that division. They better get going very, very soon. I say the next 3 weeks. We'll see where they're at July 1st. They really got to be over 500 or right at 500 by July 1st. I think they have a shot at making the playoffs. So they got to get hot. They got to win like about 11 of 15 if they can, or maybe 15 of 20 before the end of the month. I don't know if they can. I'm just saying that's what they have to do. So we'll see what happens with them. I'm surprised. They're not playing better. I'm surprised the White Sox are only in third place in AL Central. I'm surprised the Blue Jays are just in second place behind the Yankees. The Yankees are playing just magnificent baseball, 39-15. The Jays are 31-22. They're improving. And the Rays are going to be competitive at 31-23. We know that. Boston's getting hot at the right time. So that could be, kind of like a four-team race, or at least three teams vying for one or two playoff spots there. Let's see. As I look at the National League East. A gentleman talked about the Phillies, and, you know, they're struggling. Got two great power hitters in Schwarber and also with Harper. Pitching's been up and down. Played well against the Dodgers, but not against a lot of other teams. Girardi wasn't the right fit there. Let's see what else we have. The Pirates are four games under 500. The Mancini thinks they're going to win World Series, I think, in 2 years, according to him. And this year they're going to be in a playoff, he thinks. They got to go over the 500 mark. Brewers, pretty solid. Cards a half game back. Pirates in third. And Dodgers, Padres, and Giants in the West. We'll see. But with a lot of these teams, they have to have a very good June. And we're almost, we're 6 days into June. Teams got to get hot by the end of this month. They got to win like 15 out of 20. Can they? I don't know. I'm talking about the White Sox, the Seattle Mariners, the Phillies, Pirates. They got to win about 15 out of 20. By the end of July, I think, to really get into the race. And by that time, they will have played, about 75 games, almost halfway through the season. And so it puts you in the right spot. You don't want to still be under 500 through the White Sox. You're the Pirates. You don't really want to still be four games under 500. The Phillies, you want to be in the same scenario either. Let's see what happens with those teams. Ball is long haul. It's a marathon. 162 games. There's plenty of time to get hot, but you can't wait until September, especially if you're five games under 500 heading into September. The season will probably end by the first couple of days of October, so you got to start a little bit earlier than that. It's still early, but there are some teams to catch up to, and it's not easy when you have to pass up two or three teams. So I say that, you know, June, July are really important months for a lot of teams in Major League Baseball. The top team is going to play fairly well most of the year. Yankees, Dodgers, Brewers, the teams are pretty good every year. Astros, they're solid teams every year. Other teams have to make their move this month or next month. You don't really want to wait until August, because then you only have maybe about 9 weeks left in the season. You still can, but it's hard if you have a number of teams ahead of you. It's really tough. Then guys start, their arms start getting tired. Players start getting injured. You got to bring up guys in AAA. So it's a marathon. You got to have health. You got to have a lot of players having solid years. Sometimes the problem many teams is that guys are getting paid a lot that are supposed to be your star players have poor years at a wrong time. And so many times players that are up for their free agency, after the season, have great years as they head into free agency. Then they make the big money. Then the first year of free agency, they're bad. They don't do well. It's amazing. Okay, we have Tim from Corona, California. Sean McVay got married, had some rappers at his wedding. Okay, whatever. So are you – is that cool with you, Tim, that Sean had rappers at his wedding? I mean, you know, Sean McVay, he likes everybody. He's an encourager. He doesn't care if you're a rookie or a fifth-year player or a veteran. Tries to treat everybody alike, and he likes all types of people. So, you know, Rams have certain policies that they do, but at his wedding, he's going to have whoever he wants to have there. Have you seen his mansion? And he married a beautiful woman who he knew back when he was coaching in Washington. I think she's a model, or at least was a model at one time. He wants to have a family sometime soon. I'm not sure how many years he's going to coach, because I know eventually that he'll probably get a gig as a commentator. And while he was offered a gig, he decided to come back you know, to the Rams again and coach a few more years. He's still only in his late 30s, so he started young, he's been very successful. But coaching football is not the only priority for him in his life. And so that's cool. I mean, you could have whoever he wants to have there. As long as they're clean rappers, it's fine with me. As long as they don't do any damage, that's cool. It's all right with me, you know. And thanks a lot, everybody, for talking to me today. That's Tim from Corona. We had Roy from Spokane, Washington. Don from Visalia, which is not far from me. I was in Visalia last weekend, broadcasting three baseball section finals. Three Kern County teams won on that particular day. Kennedy from Delano, they won in Division 5. Stockdale from Bakersfield won the Division 1 championship. And then Division 3 was won by Bakersfield High. Stockdale and BHS lost in the first game of the regionals, and Kennedy won the first game. And also we had Sheila from Roswell, New Mexico, talk about the Twins. We had Terry from Bakersfield, here locally. Thinks it's a great show. Thank you very much. Today was kind of weird because Jean Fruth, my guest, she never came on, I guess. Did she? Well, I introduced her, and she wasn't there. And so she's a sports photographer for Major League Baseball, the Caribbean League, a Baseball Hall of Fame Museum. She primarily covers the A's and the Giants and all other teams. Also, there's other sports. We'll have her on again. And Sam from Bucks County, Pennsylvania. So, yeah, Mark Mancini said that we were having tech problems. So, and also Ann, Huntington Beach, big Padres fan at Petco Park, getting ready for the Mets. Yeah, it should be a good series. It should be a good series between the Mets and the Padres, two of the best teams in the National League and two of the best teams in Major League Baseball as we talk right now. I'm checking out my watch. You can get in touch with me by going to my email site. That's markheff20@gmail.com, markheff20@gmail.com, or sportsrapnet@yahoo.com, sportsrapnet@yahoo.com. Markman Madness, MMM, is produced by Mark Mancini for Mancini Media. Yeah, he is Mr. Producer, but you know what? He hosts a lot of shows on Mancini Media, a lot of new shows coming your way on Mancini Media, so check it out throughout the week, primarily, I think, Monday through Saturday. My name is Mark Heffernan. God bless you. Thanks for listening. We'll be talking again next week from 5 to 6 p.m. Pacific time. That's 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern time right here on Blog Talk Radio and Mancini Media for Markman Madness. I'm Mark Heffernan. Take care. And we will talk to you again. It'll be even hotter next week. Adios.